Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race RuCap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the second episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 5. First, I want to bring in a man who I would give $20,000 to put into an IRA, a Roth account, Amon Adwin. How are you doing?
I mean, don't lie to me, Liana, because I could really use that $20K right now.
I had $20K in an IRA Roth account, okay?
I am, of course, so happy to be back. RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 5 has been, you know, it's been delivering for the past two episodes. So I'm glad to be back talking all things Drag Race with you guys.
And, of course, we also have Brent. Brent Wolgamont is here, my own Ben de la Creme. How are you, Brent?
You will never be Ben de la Creme. That's what people would say to me. Gosh, I am so happy to be here as well. I do want to ask, was that really Alyssa Edwards that we saw at the end? Because it did not feel like it. I feel like they maybe edited it a little bit to make it look like it was a bigger win than maybe it was. Because I know that Alyssa Edwards can dance the house down, honey. But I don't know if I got that from what I was seeing from the edit on RuPaul's Drag Race. But I'm sure it'll be talked about.
Edit producers paying her off, call it what you want. Yeah, we can get into all of that. We also have with us a guest with us today. Beth is here, Beth Dixon, who is going to join us to talk about this episode. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing great, and I have to say I am such a fan of everybody there as well. And of course of Drag Race.
That's such an iconic sound. I can't even see it, but I can hear that.
I know, right? Like, I'm so mad that I could like see it when I heard it. Like,
I know, right? Okay, well, before we talk about everything with the episode, Beth, do you want to give us a little bit of your background? Who are you? What's your history with the community and with Drag Race?
Sure. So again, my name is Beth Dixon. I have been very involved with different circles of reality television for a couple years now. I specifically love watching Big Brother, Survivor, Drag Race. I'm very involved with the Sequester community as well. I happen to also be a co-host on the podcast My Weekly Meltdown. And my experience with Drag Race, I was kind of a newer fan. My first season that I watched live was season 8. But I became so hooked. I went back and I watched all the seasons kind of in a random order. So when All Stars 2 came out, I knew every queen who was going to be on the show. And I was just so enthralled with it. And I loved it so much. I've been to a few different drag cons. And I've just really, really enjoyed the whole drag community and the platform that Drag Race has given to specifically LGBTQIA people. It's just been a really wonderful community to be a part of. So I'm really happy to be joining you all to talk about All Stars 5, which so far, I really feel like it's bringing me back to how I used to feel about Drag Race. It's really refreshing to me, and I'm really, really excited about where the season is going.
Well, we're very, very excited to have you, and I completely agree with you. I don't like, maybe it's just because we're getting Angina and Jujubee. Anyway, whatever. Very excited about the season. Before we dive into the episode, Brent, I want to pass the microphone over to you. I think you have a few things you want to talk about.
Thank you. Yes, I do. So look, you know, it's Brent. I keep it real with you guys. I always keep it real, and I'm going to keep it real here. Unless you have been living under a rock somewhere, you know that there is a movement happening in our nation's history and in our world history. Okay. Black Lives Matter, Black Trans Lives Matter. And as I said, it is not just a moment in time, but a movement. And movement has action. And that also holds true here at Rob as a Podcast. Back last season, when I put my foot in my mouth in regards to Sherry Pie, we said that we would reevaluate after the end of the season. And I talked to Rob. And Rob and myself, as well as Liana and Amon, we all agree, and we are all standing together on this, especially that in this day where every voice, not just at RHAP, but everywhere, where every voice is important for the cause of racial justice and human dignity, it is important that the Drag Race podcast, above all other podcasts at Rob as a Podcast, be a safe space. And I don't know if, I know you all have gotten to know me, but the listeners out there know me, but the words safe and Brent don't really mix all that well. I'm a bit of a firecracker. I really am. I'm a bulldozer. And RuPaul's Drag Race, so, you know, whether you love it or hate it sometimes, it is an absolute like tinderbox of issues with regards to, you know, gender and racism, sexism, transphobia, homophobia, xenophobia. And it here's the thing. Here's the real tea, okay? It is important that RHAP have its messengers in the best positions possible. Can I do some good here at the RuCap? Maybe, okay? But I am a little handicapped. I really am. By some things that I have said in the past, and maybe some of the messages that I have that I would like to extend to other people about the issues that we all care about, maybe they don't land as well as they could because some people are just not open to hearing those messages anymore from me. While I know, or I would hope that, you know, everyone knows where my heart is, the reality in 2020 and, you know, with this big election coming up, that we all have to mobilize for is that intention doesn't matter. It is about impact. And, you know, look, while I was one of the people that helped start Drag Race, that's so funny you bring up season 8, Beth, because that's when we started covering RuPaul's Drag Race was we did a one-off with Rob and myself and Allie about season 8 and Bob the Drag Queen. And it was so much fun to cover. And we just did it as a one-off at the time because it was on Logo and it was this niche show. And Rob honestly didn't know if it had the viewership for us to even do a podcast about it. But all the way back into what it has grown right now, there are other voices that need to be heard. And I want to be a part of lifting up those voices that need to be heard. So I am going to step away from covering RuPaul's Drag Race with Rob as a Podcast. And that's just all I have to say about it, at least right now. So how y'all doing?
Well, Brent, you know, you were the one who started this podcast along with, you know, Mike Bloom and Allie. And I was fortunate enough to come in and be able to speak with you about RuPaul's Drag Race for so many seasons. And I think what we've seen is the show evolve. We've seen the way that we talk about the show that has evolved. And I think that's also partly, you know, it's our responsibility as podcasters to go along with that evolution, and change is inevitable. Change is so incredibly important, and it's going to be sad to not talk to you every week. You know, that's like, I love hearing your outlandish take sometimes. And like, I know that you will be there to call a bitch out when her dress doesn't hit the floor.
Real.
But you know what? Like, this is the world that we're living in. And like Bren mentioned, you know, we've all talked about this decision and think that it is for the best.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad to
it's
not be
able
sad.
To. There's no sad here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going
the bitch isn't dead. Okay.
It's just drag.
Thank you. Yes. It's just drag. Like for real, like I said, don't be sad. I'm not going anywhere. Technically, I'm just down the hall. Okay. At Red Big Brother and Sequester. I'm having a grand old time out there. But everybody has a place in the podcast that they are the best at. And I know where I am good at. I really do. You know, RuPaul's Drag Race is, in my view, for RHAP, it is an important platform for inclusivity and, you know, the respect of the human experience. And I'm sure that, like, it sounds counterintuitive on a crazy show that, you know, has like makeup and sequins and crinoline and wigs and that as its main details. But it needs voices that represent those goals, and RHAP should be about lifting up other voices. Aman and Liana, it has been a heartwarming couple of seasons podcasting with both of you. Even though I'm not going anywhere on the podcast overall, this is my last one. And I just wanted to say, Aman, you are an absolute star. You are a Black, gay, man, and yet you continue to flourish and shine. Black gay men are among some of the most endangered demographics when it comes to issues like education and having a support system and a loving family and being able to prosper in the United States. And you continue to defy all of that, becoming one of the brightest stars here at Rob as a podcast. And I am so happy to get to know you, honey, and to continue to get to know you as I listen to this podcast. Liana, mama. now that I think about it, both of you all the way back on So You Think You Can Podcast, Aman was Team Kidwell and Liana was Team Brent. When you were on my team, Liana, you showed me what I see now, in that you are, I want people to hear me on this, okay? Liana is the best podcaster that I know, period. Okay, mm-hmm. Not female podcaster, mm-hmm. just podcaster. Mm-hmm.
Snaps.
Best podcaster I know, period. You somehow combine being empathetic with having a strong intellect, and you win the listeners over with your wry sense of humor and your absolute command of the issues. You amaze me. And I am so happy to call you my friend. I love you both. Seriously.
I'm gonna cry. Yeah. This is like the RuPaul angina moment in this episode. Like,
I know. I feel like we're an Untucked right now, having like a beautiful.
Well, we debated this whether or not we wanted to start the show or end the show with it. And I'm like, you know, I feel like it's the best if I literally just say, you know, here's the tea, and, you know, get the hell off the stage and let other people do it better. Because Beth, you know, I know you just got here, but I know that Liana and Aman, and also myself, not that I had any say, but we all agree that we wanted you to be here today, because in the few short years that we've all gotten to know you, you are an absolute gem. I remember first seeing you and watching you when actually our own Rob Cesternino did an interview with My Weekly Meltdown about his experience playing the game of sequester. And of course, I've heard you speak many times since then, your breadth of knowledge about issues like transphobia and gender make you such a compelling voice. I know that, here's the thing. I know that there's some people out there, specifically maybe some fans of mine, who will feel like you're taking my place. And you know what? They're right.
What about it? And
are going to take my place, and you're going to do it better than I ever did it, because you have that capability within you. Not everybody has that capability, but I think, and I know that Liana and Aman just agree that you have it within you. And so like I said, don't be sad. I'm not going nowhere. I'm just down the hall of Big Brother and Sequester, and y'all can come get me anytime. I am so happy to leave this with you and let other voices shine. And I'm going to get the hell off the stage now.
Thank you so much, Brent, for those words. That's really kind of you. And I'm, like I said earlier, I'm really excited just to chat with everybody here about Drag Race. I think it's not only a fun show to cover, but it's an important show with important issues that come out unlike any other show. So the opportunity to talk with you guys is a lot of fun. And Brent, you've paved the way for the show to come forward on Rob Has a Podcast, and no one can ever take that away, and the work that you've done. So thank you very, very much for your voice as well.
You are so sweet, and thank you guys so much. I'm going to go, you guys have a great time recapping this episode, okay?
Okay. Good luck setting up your dad's computer.
Thank you so much. I will see you. Bye. Bye.
Okay, now, as the best podcaster ever in the entire world ever, let's talk about this episode. Oh my gosh. All right, first of all, I just want to go back to what Beth said at the very beginning, that these episodes, especially this episode, I think, really do feel a little bit like a throwback. And I think even hearing some of the contrasting ways that the queens talk and give confessionals between some of the newer queens and the queens from the earlier seasons really stood out to me. So I'm excited to dig into all of that and dig into everything that happened with our I Love You challenge and the runway category. Love the stand you're in, which is so apt, even though this was filmed a year ago. But let's kick things off with talking about after the elimination. So we get, you know, talking about the money rolling over, Evie coming in as the assassin. But the main sort of drama that we get to see here, Beth, is Jujubee voted for Mayhem and Mayhem is not happy.
Yeah, she understandably so. You have somebody who you believe is your friend and that you think really knows you and knows your capabilities. And you find out that they voted for you to potentially go. And while she was the only vote besides Derek, and Mayhem really wasn't in any danger of leaving, I can understand Mayhem's feelings of feeling like, girl, what are you doing? But at the same time, I do think that Jujubee, you know, was trying to do what was right by what she was seeing in the competition. Whether or not fans or other queens agree with her, that's a whole other thing. But I'll tell you what, that always, these kind of moments where people are saying, hey, I thought that you did a horrible job, they always fester into something else. So I'm interested to see how this potentially plays out. Should Jujubee be in the bottom and Mayhem in the top sometime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aman, do you think that this is something that we're going to see throughout the season, or do you think this is something that's more of an isolated incident?
I hope that it's not an isolated incident. I mean, one, for the drama. I mean, come on, like, we love the drama. But second of all, like, I'm glad that, like, somebody said it. Somebody, like, sort of, like, broke the seal and was like, look, I love you. And of course, because like, that was Mayhem's main defense, right? Like, you know what I'm capable of. We've performed together. Like, why? Like, I can't understand why you would, you know, do this. But it's not about that. It's All Stars right. 5. Okay, come on. Like, we want competition. And one of the, you know, components of this competition is getting rid of somebody that is not doing well. And if you weren't doing well and she thought that you were doing the worst, then put her fucking lipstick in that box. Like, just do it. So
yeah. I was fine with it. I think we were talking about this where it's going to be interesting to see how the queens handle this whole voting component, because mm-hmm. although it's something that we as reality TV fans are familiar with from Big Brother and Survivor, this hasn't necessarily been a part of Big Drag Race, except for, of course, the one finale that blocked Shangela from getting into the final two. So I think Drag Race fans have a little bit of, you know, if you only watch Drag Race, a little bit of a response to the whole voting component. But I'm looking forward to see how this is going to be handled moving forward throughout the rest of the season. I think my fave moment, though, did come from Jujubee, which reminded me how much I freaking love Jujubee when she was talking about, I'm sorry that you feel that way, stopped herself, said, okay, wait, that's not a real apology, and said, I'm sorry that I hurt you, because I'm sorry you felt that way is an apology, I say using air quotes, that you hear so often that, mm-hmm. like she said, isn't a real apology. So that just revived my love again for Jujubee. So two components, mm-hmm. love this drama, but also I can't help but love Jujubee.
Yeah, I also agree. I think that with Jujubee, this is probably one of the reasons, back to your point about how the queens are talking in confessionals or even with each other and how they're discussing their issues and conflicts. This is a prime example of that happening, because you have someone who's saying, oh, you know what? I'm screwing up in this moment. Let me rephrase what I meant to say. I'm sorry that I caused you harm, rather than saying, I'm sorry that you felt that way. And even those slight little things, it's still Jujubee saying, I'm telling you how I felt. I'm not apologizing for how I felt. And I think that you were weaker and all those different kinds of things. You still have someone spilling the tea there, but you have somebody who's also saying, but I also realize that if I caused you pain, like, that's on me. And that's right. Rare to find, especially recently on Drag Race. So yeah, it was definitely a breath of fresh air for me, at least watching the show.
Like, how dare she be so mature?
I know, come on.
I appreciate it, but at the same time, drama. Well, speaking of drama, the next day in the workroom, we get this whole Cracker struggling with her decision, wanting to vote for Angina thing. And then this sort of starts off this whole storyline that permeates the rest of the episode and Untucked, which is Cracker is difficult and hard to work with, Amon.
Yeah, this was interesting because I am such a big Miss Cracker fan, and she was such the rootable hero in her season, right? And she went out in a off chance lip sync, and now she's here to redeem herself, and now she's back as this villainous character. But like the thing for me with Miss Cracker in this villain edit is like, it's strange because she is aware, like she's being made aware of the fact that some of these queens have an issue with how she will articulate some of her thoughts. So it's like, not just the villain edit, but it's like a thoughtful villain edit. So she's like trying to like undo it. But I also just feel like, Miss Cracker, you could have kept this information to yourself. You didn't need to tell, you didn't need to tell, what's her name? I'm forgetting her name. Angina. You did not need to tell Angina how you felt about keeping her here. Like, just you, that, the moment to tell her that was when you guys got back from deliberation. And now you're bringing it up now. It's like, why? Like, it's, the competition is moving on, sis. Like, you, like, leave that, like, that's, keep it to yourself, honey. Like, we don't need to know.
Yeah, and she also, like, made it about herself, too. Like, I didn't sleep well last night, and, like, all those things about it. And you're like, girl, how do you think that Angina felt? She probably didn't sleep well the night before, too. She's probably under a lot more pressure. But I do think that what we see with this arc, which I think is really interesting, is Ms. Cracker saying, yeah, I don't see that I'm egotistical because I have so many self-doubts. But I think that there's a lack of connection there, that the people who oftentimes have who exude egotism are those that are so, have a lot of like issues with themselves, and they don't understand that they're coming across as egotistical, like what that really means. So I'm hoping that if we continue to see this theme with Ms. Cracker moving forward, that potentially what we're going to find is somebody step in and go, let me give you examples of what this is, because we haven't seen somebody actually, they're just like, yeah, you're difficult to work with, but nobody's sitting there saying, here's exactly how you made me feel when you worded things like this, or when you did these specific actions. And I think that she's open to hearing those kind of things just based off of her confessionals and such throughout the episode.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a quote from, I think it's from Pose, but it's, the judges are looking for confidence, not an ego. Mm. And I kind of feel like maybe that's the line between the two, where if she was a little bit more self-assured, maybe it comes off across as confidence and not across as having an ego. Because this whole Cracker storyline, like really, like I said, just permeates the whole episode. Because Amon, to your point, Cracker does bring up the fact that, oh, who does this serve? I think it's during the deliberations. Does it help me to make Angina feel bad? And then
right,
Beth, to your point about, well, it seems like Cracker is open, because she said somewhere, people say that I'm difficult, and people say that I'm a lot, but if I knew why, I could fix it. But mm-hmm. in Untucked, at least, when the queens are saying, you know, it comes across as forced and you do things in an arrogant way, you're rolling your eyes. When Alexis Mateo snaps and is like, no, like you're being a bitch, maybe that is a time to really evaluate your actions. Because I feel like Cracker wants to say, I'm not this way because either I can't be, or if someone would just tell me, I would fix those issues. Yet when she's given opportunities to do that, at least from the edit that we saw, it seems like she's not open to that. Amon, I'm trying to think from just any tea that we know from the queens working together, do we know this about Cracker, that apparently
no like that this was such, it's like really throwing me for a loop, because I didn't get a chance to watch the episode live on Friday night, and so, but I was kind of like kept keeping up on Twitter, and I kept seeing her name everyone, people like calling her a bitch and every this, that, and the third, and I was like, really, Miss Cracker? And then I see this edit and I'm like, oh wow, like what's going on? And I've never, she's like I said before on season 10, she's so rootable. She's such a, and no one has a bad thing to say about her, even like outside of the competition. Like if, you know, cause I follow some of these queens, you know, they have YouTube channels, they have, you know, Twitter accounts and all sorts of shit like that. Like this has never really come up as like Miss Cracker has, she might be a bit full of herself sometimes, but I guess you can never really know unless it seems like the same thing that we are seeing right now in real time on this season is sort of probably what happens in the community as well. I feel like because of the fact that Miss Cracker is a celebrated person, people are maybe a little bit more reluctant to be like, bitch, you're really wilding out right now, until they eventually snap. And so like, I feel like maybe if she is an egotistical person, she's gotten a lot of passes because she has a lot of redeeming qualities, I guess. But mm-hmm. this is like, it really threw me for a loop.
Yeah. It's also interesting considering like who she's or at least like who we believe that she's close with outside, you know, like with Bob the drag queen being her drag mother. And it seems that she's close with people like Trixie or and those kind of other big fan favorite queens. And it I've had the opportunity to meet her before and I thought that she was lovely. And I didn't I didn't get any sense. There were definitely some queens that you meet and you go, OK, this person is a little full of themselves. And sometimes you kind of give them a pass because they're in drag and they're fabulous. But whatever.
Right.
But you sit back and you're like, she was not giving me like I'm in drag and I'm fabulous and I'm better than anybody or I'm egotistical or anything like that. So it is very interesting. It would be like if in All Stars 2, Katya was getting that edit. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they placed around the same time in their original season. They were really, everybody was so upset when they got eliminated. They felt like they should have gotten more wins, like all those different kinds of things. Now imagine if Katya had gotten the villain edit of like All Stars 2. And people were like, wow, Katya's really full of herself and blah, 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 blah. Like it's that level of kind of shock, which is why I'm wondering, like, yeah, Miss Cracker's getting some slap back for this and some flack for it. But I wonder if we're going to see the point where she redeems herself in the season, because I feel like that's what the edit might work towards. I don't think that. I don't know. I'm very interested to see how this where this goes.
Because I would much rather that than this be like sort of like because I mean it's reality TV, so that you know what makes compelling TV is having at least someone be a villain. So I'm like, are they grasping at straws here? Like Derek Barry's gone now, so like they need somebody else to like fill that villain role, or is it a prepackaged storyline where they're going to show her progress and become a little bit more self-aware and that much better as a queen? Because she's, I mean, she has a redemption arc like most of the other queens, but like, it's not as if Miss Cracker went out because she was bad at drag. You know what I mean? So I feel like if there's any redemption, it would be, oh, like she's going to come back and do a better job this time, still be good at drag, and she's going to learn something about herself. So I really hope that this is like, I hope that this is that.
It's kind of like Trixie in All Stars 3, right? Where where you had this whole these episodes where they were talking about how Trixie was kind of standoffish outside of drag, like she's not in drag and such. And you had these confessionals where Trixie saying, yeah, I wish that I could be a little bit warmer to people and be more genuine. But honestly, when I take my drag off, I just want to play video games. Like you have that same kind of I wish I could be X, Y, Z. And I'm trying to work on those kind of things. And you see the willingness to work on it from Ms. Cracker. So I'm interested to see what happens moving forward with her.
That's an interesting comparison to the Trixie edit, because I remember that feeling very weird at the time. And this I also feel like is weird, but this I almost feel like, at least because of the number of queens that have said something and that have talked about it, makes me feel like this is really real. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much it is about, you know, the villain edit or, you know, this is real drama that's going on. I'm not entirely sure what I'm watching, but I was very much overwhelmed by this Cracker drama. So we're going to have to see how this progresses, like you guys said. So let's put a pin in that and let's talk about our main challenge this week. So what the queens have to do is working in groups. They will write and record their own love-sickening verse to the celebrity man crush of their choice. They have to do a group look and choreo. So because India Farah was the winner of last week, although she didn't win the lip sync, but she did win the challenge, she gets to pick her two top competitors as Shea Coulee and Blair St. Clair. Which, Amon, what did you think of that decision?
She shows Blair St. Clair and Shea Coulee
as her top competition. Yeah.
I mean, Shea Coulee, obviously, sure. Blair St. Clair. I mean, do we really declare for Blair St. Clair? I just... she had a really great first week in the competition. So, I mean, she's had a lot of success outside of the show. So maybe there was a little bit of that seeping into that. But I was interested in that choice. I thought it was like, I didn't really consider Blair St. Clair that much of a competitor. But okay, I mean...
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if this is sort of one of those things where, because one of the reasons why in All Stars 3, Trixie got so many votes to make it to the final two was because a lot of the preseason chatter within that cast or even within the first couple episodes was, oh, Trixie's going to win because she has had so much success. So the queens that didn't get to see a lot of the later competition sort of wrote off Shangela and voted for, at least that's what I heard from them. So I do wonder if that was a little bit of what was going on here, because I felt like that was out of the blue for sure. But you know what? More power to Blair St. Clair drumming up that support, you know, get her grassroots movement going. So,
yeah. And I think it's interesting too, because like I got the sense that India was under the impression like these would be the two people she'd be on a team with. Like maybe because she was like, oh, this didn't work out the way I wanted it to, when she found out that like they were going to be three team captains.
What did she expect?
Yeah, Sorry, you really think that's what's gonna happen? But it was just interesting because I sat back and I was like, is she choosing people that have different strengths than her because she thought they were going to be on a team with her, rather than saying these are my strongest competition? Like, I wonder what was going on in her head. I had that moment when I was watching it, because as I looked at everybody, I wasn't necessarily in agreement with who the top queens were for the talent competition. I definitely felt like Jujubee and Mariah should have been up in the top. And as I was looking at India, who's, you know, from season three, and she has Alexis Mateo there from season three, and Jujubee was there in season two and All Stars one. Like, I kind of wondered if she was going to try to like prop up her, you know, older season sisters.
OG sisters.
Yeah. OG sisters, of course. So like, I didn't know what her thought process there was. And I was like, where is this coming from? But I don't know. Maybe she was just trying to go for people with different strengths in case they're on her team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's entirely possible. I think we, you know, it was that like very split second confessional of, oh, that's not what I expected. But then we didn't get to hear what she expected. So it's hard to know kind of what she was thinking. Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back. Well, the groups that we get, so India Farah, so of course, Blair St. Clair and Shea Coulee end up as the other team captains alongside India Farah. And then they do a old school pick'em choice where India Farah picks Jujubee and Alexis, Blair picks Cracker and Mayhem, and Shea Coulee picks Mariah and Angina. And then these are the three teams that are going to be working together really for one, like, performance, but they sort of have their little mini performances in between, and that's sort of how this whole thing is going to break down. Aman, did you overall just like the format of the challenge, or I guess what did you think about it?
I did like it, because while it was a team effort, it was still very individualistic. I mean, they all had their own little parts that they had to record and get together and everything. And when you get on stage, of course, you're going to be performing with your group, but you still have a chance to like stand out. So I like the fact that it was like, yes, like we have to be a cohesive unit. But at the end of the day, like this is a group project, but we're getting graded individually. OK, so I like this. I like this this challenge. I mean, I'm always a fan of like the music challenges, because I feel like that's something that really tests not only wit but performance, and just like sort of just like, how far are you willing to go, how much are you willing to really give your all into this performance? So I'm a fan of this.
Yeah, Beth, I think for me, what I did like about this challenge, even though, okay, maybe you could say that it was a little boring, was the fact that it felt like every queen was on the same playing field. Because sometimes with these, with at least the lip sync challenges, when they don't have to record their own verses, but like the Herstory of the World type challenges, certain parts are just better than others.
Oh my gosh, I completely agree. It's almost better when they have a, like in this situation where they get to choose who they're singing about and like what they're doing, rather than being assigned something from production.
Mm-hmm. And they get to write their own verse too, which, you know, Aman, like you talked about, is that's where they get to show their creativity. So I thought that was cool, that it felt like everybody was really sort of starting from the same place. And we had some very interesting choices for the celebrities that people chose. So I just want to go through some of these real quick. So India Farah picked Justin Timberlake, Jujubee, Mario Lopez, Alexis, Daddy Yankee, Blair, Hannibal Lecter, which apparently the judges really appreciated.
Oh my gosh. Hannibal Lecter was like, I was so happy. And like, at first I was like, Blair St. Clair is choosing Hannibal Lecter. Like, what is she trying to prove? And then I was like, oh, she has a lot to prove in this department, and she is pulling it off. Like, that was perfect. It was so great.
Yeah, Cracker picked Sylvester Stallone. Mayhem Miller picked Mr. Rogers. Shay picked Chadwick Boseman. Mariah, Jason Momoa, and Angina, Henry Cavill. Cavill, is that how you say his last name?
Cavill, yeah.
Cavill, yeah. Okay, yeah. So you got the whole Justice League coming through over on Team Shay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the recordings. We get Leyland and Freddie Scott, who did I'm That Bitch. I can't remember if they did anything else for Rue. Probably they have, but I'm just forgetful, which I really loved I'm That Bitch. So I was happy that they were back to help coach some of the queens and then put together this whole performance.
Yes. Yeah. From the people that brought you I'm That Bitch.
They needed that. They needed here your voice.
I'm in love.
That's the songwriting key. Like three words for the title.
Starts with I'm.
Starts with I'm. Yeah. Tell somebody something. All right. Well, this to me, I want to bring this up because we get some of the classic editing tricks of like Cracker and Blair and Mayhem messing up. We get it also in the dance rehearsal where, oh my gosh, how could they ever win? They're gonna suck. Amon, which felt very spoon feedy. Like,
yeah, like it's like it's to the point now where it's like, I wish that they would do something else. It's like, can you come up with something else? Because it's like, now you're telling me that these people are probably going to be fine. Like, I feel like there's, I mean, I'm not in reality TV. I am not a professional editor, you know, producer. I just feel like there should be a less blatant way of like trying to trick the audience. Cause like, I feel like people are catching on to it just so much more nowadays. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beth, to me, this feels a little bit like the Princess Bride moments. Like when, you know, Drag Race started, it was like, oh, you edit someone to look bad and then they actually do bad. Now we're at the point where you edit someone to look bad. Oh, but they're actually going to do okay. So when are we going to take that next step? And then they get edited to do bad because you think they're going to do good, but then they actually end up doing bad.
You don't have to be Nostradamus to figure out what's going to happen with most of these now that we're figuring out the editing. But actually something that I thought was interesting is they kept saying, like, kept giving like the shady stuff to India, being like, oh, India's really screwing up in her recording session. Oh, she really can't get it. But in reality, she kept taking the note and just making it better and better and better each time that she was recording it. So that was, in my opinion, I sat there and I was like, are they really trying to be like, oh, India's not doing well? And she takes the note, does exactly what they asked her to do. Maybe not to the degree that they asked her to do it. Taking the note. And then I was like, well, clearly she's not going to do well then because they're trying to like to take a phrase from Brent, put lipstick on a pig on this one, you know, like it was just really interesting.
Yeah. They're trying to, these are the moments where like people come off of reality television shows and they're like, oh, well, you know, you can't believe everything that you see on TV because they're editing to make it that way. And most of the time, because you know, we hear that a lot of the time with Big Brother contestants who are like, nah, try again, bitch. Cause we saw it on the live feeds. But I think this is definitely a moment where it's like, yeah, like I can understand that they are really trying to paint your arc right now in a specific light, and it didn't necessarily happen the way that they're trying to make it seem like it happened. Because yeah, I also thought the same thing. I was like, but she's taking the note. Like, are you going to show that part, or are you just going to continue to?
But they're like, yeah, look at her take the note. Like, they're showing her taking the note and they're simultaneously being like, India's not doing well. I'm like, it sounds like she's listening to directions pretty well. I don't know. Like, right.
The other thing that we learn here is that Angina is either sick or lost her voice. And according to Mariah, Beth, is she doing the Dory whale call from Finding Nemo?
I openly laughed out loud at that moment. The Dory whale call was such a great visual and auditory moment there. I can say, you know, so I'm a singer as well. And I know, like, when you lose your voice, there's nothing worse than the pressure of having to perform when you have, especially, I'm sure, in a competition like this, when you're trying to showcase your best stuff and you just can't bring it. And so I thought that they ended up being able to edit it fine. Like, it didn't sound like she was that sick in the actual recording. So they obviously boosted up everything. But I think that they also were trying to set up like, ooh, Angina might not do well in this competition, which ended up being the case. So technology is amazing. And it always makes me laugh at how much time they spend saying like, aren't they awful at the audio recording portion? And then it actually sounds relatively fine. Yes. So I don't know.
Yeah, come through auto-tune.
Yeah.
Which really, well, we can talk about this later, but I was doing a number on Angina's verse. So yeah, props to auto-tune. The dance rehearsal is up after. And this to me was just so many great character moments, mainly between Jujubee and Alexis. Just seeing those two queens interact was giving me life. It was just really enjoyable. And then somehow like the Blair St. Clair group got pillows. I was like,
yeah,
where did these pillows come from? Which threw me for a loop. But yeah, I mean, you know, we just get to see more of the queens in action, Amon, and more of them, you know, more of this editing stuff.
Yeah, I was like, I guess Blair St. Clair is they had it in the budget, the pillow budget. I was like, where'd these pillows come from?
Yeah, I expect Thorgy to come out of nowhere and go, well, they got props. How come I don't get a prop? You know?
Oh my god, yeah, we only have enough for one pillow. Sorry, you guys are gonna have to share. All right, well, is there anything you guys want to talk about with the dance rehearsal? I mean, it's just them coming up with their own choreo, which, you know, part of me is like, oh, I like this because I'm happy that they're being challenged in that performative aspect. But then there's another part of me that's like, well, I know we had you know, oh my god, what am I thinking of? Todrick Hall. I know we're not talking about Todrick Hall, but you could have someone else come in to do some of the choreography for them. And but you know,
like Jamal whatever. Sims or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jamal Sims. Yeah. I guess Alyssa Edwards was busy doing something else for the episode, but that would be, oh my god, could you imagine? Have her come in and do the choreo and then have her.
That would have been
in.
A gag. Yeah.
That would have been amazing.
You're welcome.
Just the sound bite that Alyssa Edwards would have come up with. All right. You thought that I was just here for that. That would have been great. Oh, God.
So good. Okay. Well, I guess the performance day stuff before we get to the main stage is, again, just more of the Cracker drama. Amon, as the Cracker fan here, is there anything else that you want to talk about with that? Apparently, Cracker hasn't made a friend in years, which I did feel a little bit bad about. But it's sort of more of the same.
Yeah, it was kind of, it was like, once again, it was sort of like surprising to hear. And I guess it's just sort of like a reminder that, I mean, we all know this in the back of our minds, that like, I mean, these people on these reality television shows, they are real people. They have lives outside of the show. You know, they're not just Ms. Cracker all the time. But yeah, it was kind of, it was a little sad to hear. I mean, and I don't think that that's an uncommon experience for most adults. Like, it gets harder to make friends as you get older. You sort of like you find your group of people, and that's sort of like you're in it for the long haul, hopefully. And so it was I don't know. It's just like, this was a very eye-opening episode for me as a Ms. Cracker fan. Only note that I really had outside of that from this scene was that you could definitely see Miss Cracker's runway outfit in the background before she came on, and I was like, I wonder if that's ever happened before. I don't know, which is a note that I had.
Like, spoiler alert, blur it out next time.
I was like, oh, I saw it already. I'm not even impressed now.
Let's just get into the main stage. Let's talk about, I want to talk about their performances and I think their runway looks at the same time, just because I think that kind of makes sense to do. So we'll go through queen by queen and we'll talk about what we thought about their performance, as well as love the skin you're in as the runway. But first, our two guest judges are Madison Beer, who we saw in Super Top Secret Celebrity Drag Race. And then Tessa Thompson, who, you know, had the fan joke that Beth iconically brought back. Which
I like to say that she stole that from me. I do that a lot.
No, of course. Yeah. A year ago, she went back in time. She knew you were going to do it here. Got it. Who I knew from Dear White People. And then, you know, she's been in other stuff since. I thought that they were fine. You know, I didn't particularly love Madison when she was on Secret Celebrity Drag Race. But, you know, I guess she was also here for this.
I mean, I did not to be shady or anything, but like when they introduced her and they were like, musical sensation Madison Beer, I was like, What sensation? What sensation am I supposed to be feeling?
The sensation is, who was that? No.
I mean, clearly her agent is putting in work, okay? Because now she's made two appearances on Drag Race. So maybe she is on the precipice of stardom. And this is like, maybe if COVID hadn't, you know, fucked everybody shit up, maybe she'd be, you know, more popular. I don't know.
Yeah,
but, look, she's not particularly riveting as a guest judge.
Well, Lizzo, you know, was on before, even though like her music had been out for so long, so it took her like a while to blow up. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
But I doubt that. At least, like, cause didn't we talk about the fact that she's a Vine superstar or something? That was how Puya knew her, at least. So
busy on Vine, and she moved over to Disney, and then nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. I mean, look, I'm clearly aging out of the 18 to 24 demographic, so maybe I'm just not seeing this shit. I don't know, but like I
tend it's a to really real thing, Amon.
It really is.
Oh my god, I know. Okay, so just a little side note, personal story away from Drag Race. I do a lot of mentoring as part of my job. You know, we have interns that come in, either, you know, undergraduate or even high school students, and I always feel so old. I'd be like, okay, do you guys know what like Instagram and stuff, and they're like, yes, bitch, like, yeah, we know what Instagram is. I'd be like, well, my friend posted on Instagram. We don't want to hear about this. You're old. Go away. just trying to be cool, you guys. The performance that we get, which effectively turned into a stalker song, which I didn't realize until I think my third time watching it. Beth, like, oh, stay 30 feet away. Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. The first time I'm like listening to it and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, a cute song. It's catchy. It's not like, it's not super over the top campy. Like, okay, this is kind of like legit. And then I'm like listening to it and I'm like, okay. They're stalkers. This is great. Cool. Work. Get it. All right. Great. You know, like it literally took me so long to figure out what was going on with the song. But yeah, no, it was cute. I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go through each queen. So we have the first group, which is the India Farah team, with Alexis Mateo coming up first. And I really enjoyed her performance here. I actually thought she might be in the top, Amon. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, obviously that wasn't the case in the end.
I didn't dislike her performance. I kind of thought that she was a little low energy to me. Like, I was like, when I watched it for the first time, I was like, oh, she's not really giving it to me. I mean, it's also like juxtaposed with her Puerto Rican Pride number from last time, which is such just a high energy movement. Mm-hmm. I just felt like this one was sort of like, I was like, okay, because she was the first one to go, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she opens up the performance, and I'm like, yeah, I don't like, give me more, you know what I mean? And the song is slower, you know what I mean? So it's not an upbeat number, but I don't know, I just felt like she was not giving me as much energy as I got to see from her competitors.
Mm-hmm. Beth, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought that she did well, and I liked her lyrics, and I think that Daddy Yankee, as you know, she would say, or, you know, is great, is a great choice. You know, it's somebody who that she can speak to, like from a cultural standpoint, but also is a well-known icon, but is probably not the obvious choice. And I feel like those choices are the ones that were like more fun. Like, you know, we'll get into this a little when we get to India, but like someone like Justin Timberlake or something like that, it's just kind of like, that's obvious. And I appreciated the people who didn't go for something that was obvious. So you could see that she was like sinking her teeth into being able to like sing about Daddy Yankee. But like at the same time, like, it's like I could see her thinking. I think that's what it was, really, more than anything. Like, you could see that she wasn't embodying everything. So while I did think that she did well, I didn't think that she necessarily was like one of the top two, in my opinion. I definitely think she was in the top half, though, of the queens performing.
Yeah, I think maybe it was because I just really liked her lyrics so much that like threw it up in the top for me. And, you know, I'm a sucker for her anyway, because I loved her from her season. So but here's another queen that I am. Oh, wait, we got to talk about her look. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. OK, yeah, we're going to go in order, I guess, of the performance, because it's not the same as the runway category. So Alexis Eleganza was what I have written in all caps. It's like that homemade leather gown is what she's rocking here. I thought it was pretty. I thought, though, that, you know, it's Alexis with a little bit of a modern twist on it. So I felt like she's still staying true to sort of her pageant roots. But the fact that this whole thing was made out of leather, I thought was a really cool choice, Iman.
I love the I don't know women's fashion, so I'm not really sure what you would call it, but like the V neck type deal, like when it's open onto the breast. Is there a technical term? I don't know. I'm butchering this, but I like that.
Yeah.
The plunging neckline. Yes.
There it is. The plunging neckline. I knew there was like something. I couldn't think of it. But yeah, I love leather dresses. I feel like it's just like so dirty. It's just like you're not supposed to have a dress that's leathery, but you do. And it's you're a rebel. I love it. I really enjoyed this.
I agree. And I think that there's a feeling that leather can only be put on certain body types. And I really appreciate that Alexis, who I would not say is a plus size queen, but is not as skinny as she once was showing off her body, showing off her curves with this leather. And, you know, it was, I thought that really suited her. I think it looked really good. I don't know if this is a weird thing or not, but I really like leather as like a material for the in your skin kind of. I think that I thought it was gorgeous on her. I thought that she really pulled it off. And I agree with you, Liana. I really think that this was a nod to her pageant roots and to her past self, but like an evolved form. Like she, you know, she's coming back for All Stars. She's got to evolve. And I thought that she did.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, leather is like literally skin.
I know, that's like, I feel weird about saying
I don't know if it's like, I don't know if it's real or not. But yeah, I thought that was a cool material choice that she went with for this. The next queen that we have up is Jujubee, Miss Jujubee, who had probably one of my favorite lines, the please fill me up line, which I thought was so good. But I, as a intense Jujubee fan, I don't know, Beth, if I thought that she deserved to be in the top.
Well, can I agree with that? Oh my gosh, I was like, I love Jujubee, and I love the John Stamos kind of like, hey, look at like Full House kind of references or whatever. But she was another one who I weirdly thought was kind of lower energy than what I expected from her facial expressions at the very least. She's someone who's a very animated queen, and I didn't really get a lot of animation out of her. I agree with her kind of with Alexis being in, like, they had like the same struggle, in my opinion, as compared to some of the other queens we'll talk about.
No, yeah. I completely agree. I mean, I feel like just like for them to be the opening group, it just wasn't the pal that you want. And yeah, it's Jujubee. Like, Jujubee is no, I mean, this is the girl that's known for coming onto the runway drunk as hell and won the lipstick. You know what I mean? So you're left wanting a little bit. And also, like, her bra kept showing through, and I was like, oh, that's really pissing me off. But
And her runway look also was one of those things where I was like, oh my gosh, it's almost there, because the curves are just gorgeous. Like the hair, but like, it needs a little bit more structure, and the gown needs to be just a little bit longer.
It either needed to be longer or shorter. Like, if it had come up a little bit more like closer to the knee, maybe it would have been like really stunning. And I also think it would have given her length, because she is a shorter queen. But it was one of those, it was just as an awkward length where I was like, was this made for you, or did you buy it off of somebody? I don't know. I loved it. I loved it in theory. I just didn't know if I liked the full execution of it.
Yeah, Iman, did you have any particular thoughts about this gown?
It was kind of like run of the mill. I remember like being underwhelmed by it. I mean, she looks gorgeous, but it's sort of like how Bob the Drag Queen felt about her entrance look. It was just like, you came into your first season looking like you were at the mall. Now you come into this season looking like you maybe own the mall, but like, it's not that much better. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, it's okay. It was all
right. Yeah. Her B looks fabulous. And I do love the big, incredibly oversized ring. So at least that little accessory is there. Now, Beth, India Farah is our next queen. Do you think that she deserved to be in the bottom?
I do. Unfortunately, I think it was so exciting to see her come out and win last week's episode. And I was getting instantaneous like Tatiana vibes from All Star 2, where I was like, oh, my gosh, is she going to win the first one and go home the second episode? Like, that's awful. But India, I wasn't compelled by the lyrics. It seemed like she was overthinking during her performance. I really didn't see any of the animation. And she was by far the weakest out of this group. And as we've already mentioned, it wasn't like a big wow opening for a group. So when you're the weak link of that, that is, it becomes blatantly obvious. And I agree with, I think it was Madison or Tessa, one of the two guest judges had said, you know, I lost you in your small group. Like, I wasn't even looking at you. And that's a bad sign. If there are three people and you can't stand out in three people, like, that's bad.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't pick you. What's there's an insult. I think it's from Arrested Development, but it's like, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup of one. That's kind of a little bit how this feels. I'm like, sorry.
And it's also like, what does that say about, like, India is drag. Like, her whole look is drag head to toe, and if you can't pick that out of a lineup of three, you are doing something wrong. You know, the way she paints her face, what she's wearing, all those different kinds of things.
Amon, do you think that she maybe redeemed herself a little bit with the look compared to the performance, or what did you think about that?
I am trying to, because I have pictures, I'm trying to find her look right now. Yeah, it's
the racial unity look, is I believe how she described it. So it's a bunch of different colors.
Got it.
And then she's got
that
heart. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I understood what she was going for here. And it's always so hard, like, whenever they come out with a garment that is supposed to convey a message. In the back of my head, I always just hear Michelle's quote to Soju. That's lovely, but is it? Like, does it look good? And it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. It was sort of just like, like, I see what you were going for here. I feel like I'm so negative on all the runways today, but like, I just feel like it was, I just didn't like the way that it looked. I just didn't like it.
I don't know. I'm looking at it now, and I also don't love it.
The cascading like ruffles on one side and then like the fringe on the other, and then she like there's you're going with like this whole asymmetrical look, and like, yes, I understand the drama of it, but it doesn't like, yes, be asymmetrical, but also like make it clever. I don't know, it just didn't look good.
I want to like pluck those, so it's sort of like hanging from her hip where the heart is. There's like three tiers or four tiers or something of fabric. I want to just yank that thing off.
It feels
very much just like she kind of stuck it on there. Like, maybe she's like, oh my gosh, the dark brown color isn't dark enough, like I need a darker brown or something. I don't know, like stuck that on there because I feel like it's just distracting.
Yeah,
I toot the message, I boot the outfit. I appreciate the effort, but it's, for me, it wasn't an all-star look. I think it would have been fine for a runway on a normal season. Like, it would have been a passable one, it would have been great.
Right.
When you're looking at all-stars and the level that people are bringing, even though that her style, like this over-the-top drag kind of style, she does it really well, and she can really bring it to the runway. I just didn't like it. I wanted to like it. I just couldn't get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely co-sign that. Let's hop on over to the next group that we see perform. So this is the Blair St. Clair group with Cracker and Mayhem Miller. So the first queen to perform out of this group is Cracker, I think. Oh my gosh. I know that we're getting all this drama with Cracker, but I was actually gagged, Amon, that she wasn't in the top.
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, we know she's a performer. She's a comedy person. She likes to make people laugh. She likes to be big and out there. And I felt like she delivered. Maybe it's a case of and the fact that she was. I mean, she was lip syncing, obviously, but I just liked her verse as well. Like, I just liked how quick the lines were. Maybe it's just a case of, you know, it's Miss Cracker, so we expect it from her. So she has to be really, really, really good in order for us to really want to award her the win. But I thought she was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Beth, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked her performance. I had the first time I watched it, I had a hard time understanding the lyrics at first. And so that really ruined it a little bit for me. But then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, OK, I get it. But I think maybe because I was just so focused on, like, when I watch people lip sync, sometimes I'm not necessarily listening only to the lyrics. I'm really trying to see, like, are they capturing the spirit of the song? Are they performing? What are they doing with their face, their body, that kind of thing? Are they thinking? And she really wasn't doing any of that kind of stuff, which is why I was so compelled by her. Maybe I missed the lyrics the first time around. But I definitely thought she was one of the stronger queens. I would have put her above Alexis and Jujubee. In my opinion. And I think that I felt like for the edit really tried to show that this group was the one that had the most communication issues, but I thought that they probably were the strongest group altogether. And with her opening it up, I thought it was a strong open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every group ultimately were really strong, you know, and I think even RuPaul says, oh, we're splitting hairs. I think there was definitely some differences, though, that you can, you know, you can pick out some tops and bottoms here. But yeah, overall, I thought it was really good. And I thought that this group was fun. I personally loved Cracker's lyrics. She did the like fight thing that she does when they did the conflama. and for some reason that motion just stuck in my head from season 10. And so when she brought it back out, it was almost like playing the hits. I was like, yes, do your conflama dance. Even though that's such a weird tiny thing to remember that I'm sure no one else does.
A good reference. I honestly didn't remember that until you brought that up. And like, I'm like really into that now.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I could think of. But Aman, you said that you saw her dress beforehand. Did it not shock you when she came out with this look on the runway?
It did not shock me. All of the drama was gone. Trash. Throw it away. No, I like the dress. I really do. She's such a... Miss Cracker is a small person. She really is. But the dress did not eat her up. I feel like she wore that dress and she stomped on that runway. She looked good, and I love the little, I'm still having such a hard time with terms.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There you go, sneeze. I'm glad that you knew what I was talking about. I love the sneeze guard. I love how, like, dramatic it is. So, yeah, I love this look.
Okay, so you loved how dramatic it is, because, Beth, I wanted to cut about an inch off, maybe two off.
I'm in the same boat. This was something that I felt like, altogether, I felt like it was another outfit where I was like, I could see what you're going for. I just didn't think it did. And I don't know, maybe it's because she's shorter that much fabric covering up that much part of her chest and like up to her, like really her face and such really doesn't do much for her. Like if she was taller, maybe that would be better. I don't know. It came off as kind of awkward, but she really can pull off that over-exaggerated, like, I don't know if it's an A-line. What am I trying to say? That silhouette, she pulls that off really, really well. It's a trademark kind of Ms. Cracker silhouette. And it was nice to see her. This was another nod to her roots, you know, being comfortable in her skin. It was a nod to, her heritage and that kind of thing, too, which was nice. I will say that it was really interesting to see her as a brunette, too, because we're so used to her as a blonde. So I really like seeing the differentiation in like the color of wig. And it didn't wow me, but I did feel like I think that she could have probably taken an inch or two off, to your point. And it probably would have made it maybe a little stronger, even it still would have been dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm happy that you brought up the wig thing, because I felt like her skin looked, I was like, is she using a different foundation? But I think it's just bring me some color theory, because she was surrounding her face with a different color. And I think that's probably what it was. I thought that her skin looked different. But now that you say that,
her tights.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like the color of her. Well, I say tights, maybe it was like, you know, stockings or whatever, but whatever they were, they really weren't supposed to be skin tone, but they kind of were skin tone. And it was like, that kind of threw me off too. So I overall felt like her outfit altogether for me kind of like lowered her where she could have been. Like, I think that, she could have been at the top. And it was just, the execution just wasn't there for me, even though like I could see what she was going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of one time. So I did speech and debate when I was in high school, and my mom had to buy me tights because you always had to have tights for competitions. And my mom is a little bit darker skinned than I am, and so she bought me the wrong color tights, and they looked horrible.
Oh, no,
she did like that in reverse. They're like, they're too light, and it's just, it's not a good look. I feel for her, but I do understand. Yeah, maybe that was what is the reason why she got knocked out of the top, but whatever. Mayhem Miller is our next queen who is up, and she is singing about Mr. Rogers, which I thought was a fantastic choice for your celebrity crush. Amon,
I feel like she has something to prove today. She heard what Jujubee had to say about almost sending her ass home, because she was in your face for this performance. She was over the top. She was giving it to you every season. And I think that she did a good job here. The runway look is another story. But as far as the performance is concerned, I think that she... Solid. And she made Rue laugh. There you go. There you go. You're not going home now. You made him laugh.
Yep.
You're safe.
Yeah. Okay. I also liked her performance. Yada, yada, yada. I really want to talk about her runway look. You guys. Like, was it too many beads? Was it not enough beads? Like, Beth, help me.
I don't know if I can. I've looked at this and I keep thinking to myself, like, I really don't know. I feel like if she had put more beads, I would have been more upset with her than I am currently. But if she didn't have any, I would have been like, well, there's no flavor. So it's so weird. I just think that it just isn't cohesive for whatever reason. Like, it's too bad, because I really like what Mayhem does. I really think that she thinks outside of the box, and she really tries to reinvent, and she has a really good sense of style and what her frame is, and how she can build herself into different silhouettes. But this was just not it for me. I don't know. I can't help you. I honestly, I've spent days now thinking about this.
Amon, why are the beads blue? Because she's dripping? Is it water?
So I'm trying to, as we speak, I'm trying to send you guys an image of what I think she was trying to go for. I'm going to send it in the chat. It was what Kim Kardashian wore to the Met Gala in last year, 2019. Mm-hmm. And she has like this really cool dripping effect that really works on this outfit. And I'm like, why didn't you try to do a replica of this exact one? Because whoever designed that dress, I mean, no shade, I'm not a designer, you know, I can't create shit, so let me not, you know, throw stones, but I just feel like the beads, they weren't, I don't know, maybe it's placement, I don't know, it just didn't look, it didn't get the desired effect that I think she was trying to go for.
Okay, this is a Mugler look, because I remember that Brita Filter tried to do a look similar to this.
Yes. And
also, it did not look good. No. Brita's was probably worse. I totally get that. It is not executed the same.
The contrast between the dark blue of the dress with those beads just... It made it look like no.
Yeah. Is it the wrong colors? Because if she's going for that dripping wet look, because apparently that dress took 8 months to make, which I guess.
And shows, what were they doing?
It is gorgeous. Yeah. This reminded me of when Widow, do you remember when Widow did the look that was the Titanic look? I can't even remember the theme, but she had those things on her face that were like the icicles.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. She like glued them to her face and it looked super weird. This is better than that, but I still didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know what? It might have helped too, is if she was trying to go from like this dripping effect, maybe it could have been pulled together more with like her wig looking like it was wet, or like that kind of wet look that you can get. Like, yeah, if you're looking at Kim Kardashian's picture that we're looking at right here, it's not that her hair looks like she's like out fresh out of the ocean or anything like that. But you get this more like, I don't know, it's not slicked back. I don't know how to say it, but it does have like this kind of like wet feel to it.
Yeah, it's like sleek.
Yeah. Instead, what I got out of what I got out of Mayhem's outfit was like my aunt trying to recapture
right,
fashion at a wedding. You know what I mean? Like one of those looks where you're like, I'm just going to put a whole bunch of beads here and I'll wear really big earrings and like people will notice me. Like it was one of those kind of looks to me.
But like she made it out of those chandelier beads, yeah, or like lampshade beads or something like
that.
Oh
my God, lampshade beads, 100%. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So nice try, Maya. this was a bit of a miss for me, but I agree with you. Like the silhouette is gorgeous. I just want to pluck all those beads off. So.
But that's the thing. Like if you pluck the beads off,
it's too boring
and it's not also, so that's why I was like, but you can't add more because oh my gosh, I'd hate it even more. Like I just wish that she had done something more to it.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, well our next queen is okay, who went? Oh, Blair. Yes, okay. Miss Blair St. Clair. Amon, what did you think about Blair's performance and look? She went all pink this week.
So remember when I was talking shit about Blair at the beginning of this episode? I take a little bit of it back. Good for you, Blair. Good for you. Okay. Hers was the most dramatic. Hers was the most campy. And, you know, we got a lot of shots of Blair because they were all still on stage the entire time, all the groups. And we can see Blair in the background and she's still like giving it to you. So I really want to just affirm that, yes, this was the strongest group. And I think that Blair is a huge reason why. I think that she really just delivered on the comedy of it and the fact that it's Hannibal Lecter. And just, you know, I think that, yeah, it was a solid performance. The runway look, my opinion, best runway look of the episode. I loved it. I don't know why people were so, and now I know people are going to be like, really, Amon? Like, you're going to give it to the skinny girl? Like, you're going to give it to like the Vogue girl? Really? Like, weren't you just complaining about Gigi Good last season? And yes, I was complaining about Gigi Good. I was, but I just like the fact that she went comedy with this look. It was supposed to be about skin and she made herself sunburn. I thought that's just like genius. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, there was a moment that I was like, because I did get a little sunburnt today. I had to go to work and I was like, oh, it's the weekend, so I'm gonna wear a tank top, and then because I'm pale as like all get out, I got burnt. Mm-hmm. And then when she, I was like, I was thinking in my head, I was so ready to make the joke on the podcast about where's the representation for us sunburnt girls. And then she comes out in all pink. It's like, oh, okay, never mind, she's here.
All right, we got it, we're good. Yeah, no, I agree. I thought that her outfit was far and away the best one. I still had this moment of like, I love the idea that it's fashion and campy. But I still like, there was still a part of me that was like, when there were so many wonderful messages about being comfortable in your skin, like there was a part of me that was like, I wish that it wasn't pink. But at the same time, like, it looked fantastic head to toe. You know what I mean? I thought that in terms of her performance, you can tell she is a musical theater queen. She can act, she can animate. She is somebody that is exciting to glance at in the background. She doesn't steal the spotlight, but she's there and she's present. She is exactly what every extra in a musical theater number should be. And I thought she really, really pulled it off. In my opinion, she was my favorite performance out of the entirety of the cast, which I'm like a massive Shea Coulee fan, and we'll get to Shea, I know. But I really felt like Blair was the one that really embodied the song. I also feel like Blair's general look in like what she's able to do to make herself look cutesy and just kind of like, you know, you're like, you're, you know, blonde teenage girl who's like in love with a boy and all that kind of stuff. Like that really fit her wheelhouse too. So you have to kind of take that into consideration with the kind of song that we're listening to that really fits Blair's wheelhouse. But I thought she did a great job. And like, it was so great to have her be so cutesy and then have Hannibal yeah. Lecter as the person that she's choosing. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, she did this completely right. She knew where her strengths were, and then she knew where she needed to develop as a competitor. And I thought she ticked all the boxes.
Mm-hmm. Knowing also that this was effectively a song about a stalker makes her choice of Hannibal Lecter that much better, because it just ups the weird factor here.
The fact that, yeah, exactly. Like, who's stalking Hannibal Lecter? Well, yes. Apparently this cutesy blonde girl from, you know, like the Midwest is here, and she's like, it's so funny.
Yeah, Miss Skinny Little Blonde Girl.
Yeah.
Okay, our next group of queens is Shea Coulee's group, and Angina is the first performer. And this is where I was saying, Beth, that auto-tune, it's really doing its best here with poor Angina losing her voice and being sick during the recording.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too that I think you can't help but critique the queen's singing voices for a singing portion of a competition. But you mm-hmm. also are allowed to, like, there's an allowance that the judges, I do think, give. As long as you're giving personality, it's like, you know, when you're on the phone, people can tell if you're smiling because we're like right now in a podcast. You could probably tell that I'm trying to smile when I talk. And there's a difference there than if you're just talking normally. It's the same thing when you're singing. If you can give some kind of personality through your singing voice, doesn't really matter. It all that matters is how you perform it. So auto-tune helped her there. But it didn't for the tones, but it also didn't help her because you couldn't hear what she was giving to the performance on top of it, from at least the singing, the lyrics portion. So I feel like she was really ended up being hurt by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I completely agree. It was like, it was just like not the right, you know, like octave for her. I mean, she was obviously sick and didn't have her full vocal capacity going, so she had to go an octave down, which sort of already depletes the energy of whatever you're singing because it just doesn't sound as bright as it should. And then on top of that, yeah, I just feel like there wasn't much oomph behind it, you know what I mean? And that's what mm-hmm. it's such a shame, because it's like you literally get to curate this entire performance. If you think about it, you get to, you know, record as many times as it takes to get it right, and then you can give it all the energy that you can separately, and then you get to come on stage and lip sync it. So like, really, you really shouldn't be down here, but she just didn't, it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel bad for her because, you know, like dealing with a sickness or losing your voice is really challenging. But I don't know, there's something going on with Angina, and we can talk about it during the deliberation. And I wonder how much of that impacted her performance, but her beat yeah. during the performance, I didn't recognize her at first. Yeah. Like, who is this person? It felt very, I mean, good, like props to her for doing something different, but I didn't necessarily like it.
It was also weird, I think, just generally seeing her with a wig on.
Maybe like, oh,
that bald or bald. I mean,
maybe that's what it is. The wigs, man, they're doing me here from Cracker being a brunette to to Angina. As much as I loved her runway look, I could not get over. Who said it looks like an egg in a nest, and that's all I could get out of my head.
I screamed when you said that.
Do her like that.
I know.
Oh, I wish that she had said that was what I was going for. Just to like play ball or whatever. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that Angina's strength has been these beautiful over the top outfits that bring in a lot of her Filipino heritage and culture into it. And while I agree that it would have been great to see a little bit of neck from her, I don't think this was a poor outfit at all. I think that the outfit, in my opinion, didn't really wear her. She wore the outfit. And I think, I can't get that bird's egg out of my head right now because it's so funny.
Yeah, I think I agree with the judges here. I think that she did get worn by it. I think it just completely swallows her. and it's hard because, I mean, she's such a small girl, so you already have like this meager presence when it comes to the stage. And I just like, I feel like you have to wear something that elevates you. And while it's not an ugly outfit and it's a beautifully constructed outfit, I do think that she sort of got lost in both the performance and with this outfit, unfortunately. Yeah. And it's just so sad because she's so sweet, but then she also kind of like, well, we'll get to it when we get to it. But like, yeah, Angina, it wasn't her week. It just wasn't her week.
I wonder if we could have been able to see her neck, like how much that could have changed the whole garment, especially the feeling of her being swallowed by it. Like, I wonder if I would have felt that same way if I had been able to see her neck, because again, yeah, egg nest. That's all I got. Well, Mariah is the next queen that performs, which I felt like her lip sync was off here, Amon. I don't know if you felt the same way.
For Mariah, it was off. I was wondering, like, what it seemed like she was like so focused on the choreography that she was like missing marks. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, like a little low. I don't know, a little low energy, Beth. Like, what was I seeing here? I wasn't quite connecting with it.
No, that's exactly it. I think you're 100% right. I was actually texting my friends and who are all big Mariah fans. And I was like, guys, I love Mariah, but where's the energy? She's missing words. You can literally see her look down, like to see if she's on her mark. Like there was it wasn't like so, so bad, but it was noticeable when you have so many people who are doing the right thing in this competition. So it was a little off for me, and which is unfortunate because, you know, to get to her runway outfit, I think her runway was one of my favorites. It was definitely top three. Because she's absolutely just absolutely stunningly beautiful. Yeah, it was unfortunate because I really wanted her to just come out here and just like slam dunk it.
We got an air ball here, I think, a little bit. Sports.
I'm like wondering if I got it. I'm like wondering if there's like a little bit of like, because this is a bit of an older cast. I wouldn't call anybody on this cast old, but they're older. And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, are they just tired? Like, can they not give it to us like they used to? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Mariah was always kind of like this. Like, I remember at least in her original season two, she's very demure and she's been in a couple music videos that I've seen. And she just sort of, that's just sort of her air. Like, she's not going to be the most high energy queen. But unfortunately, I think for a performance like this, where you're looking for something more like that, it really does her a disservice.
You know, what's interesting with Mariah is, you know, she is a product of the ball scene. And I don't know what her categories were that she did. But sometimes when it comes to a performance based challenge, if there is an outfit or a construction challenge or a runway or whatever, she's going to nail it. Like, her strength is in those categories are unparalleled, in my opinion. But there's something just not translating that I think that she has this wonderful background in the ball scene. I would love to see like what's the energy that she's giving off in the ball scene and what is she doing there? You know, what are her categories where they face where, you know, what's the case here? And to see her translate that into the Drag Race performances would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I think I loved her gown this week. I thought she looked amazing on the runway. And I think that's where she really shines. Really, oh my gosh. Looks gorgeous. Yeah. Just absolutely gorgeous. And I loved this. I thought it was so pretty.
It was breathtaking. Everything was just like so soft and delicate and like golden. It really reminded me of, I don't know if you guys, have you guys seen the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston? Mm-hmm. It's not like an exact replica of Whitney Houston's dress, but it just sort of like just reminded me of just like that shimmer and that glamour and like just that opulence. You own everything. You know what I mean? So.
Opulence.
Opulence. Yeah, it 100% has that vibe. 100%. I love that comparison.
And she's also a queen that loves the body glitter too, where she can, I mean, she knows how to make her skin really shimmer and look beautiful. Yeah. And I, I met her once at DragCon.
Fenty body lava, honey.
Ooh, girl. No, I met her once at DragCon, and she, like, just, like, up close, I could not find a single flaw. I was just like, woo, like, you just know how to paint, and you know exactly what to do, and it, she just is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, she's so pretty. Oh, I'm so jealous. Whatever, it's fine. It's fine. Our last queen is Miss Shea Coulee. So, Beth, you said that you're a big Shea Coulee fan. What do you feel about her performance and gag-worthy runway look?
Okay, well, absolutely. Like I said before, I mean, she and Blair were absolutely the top two. I felt like because the song was probably more in Blair's wheelhouse, that's probably why Blair, in my opinion, edged her out. But Shay, we all know that Shay can rap, and she didn't rap, but she was able to bring fast lyrics that were clearer and that people could understand. She knew what she was doing. She choreographed things. She really led her team. You could tell she was the team leader out of that threesome. She hit all the marks. She was a good performer. And then on top of that, she comes out with this absolutely amazing runway outfit. In my opinion, Shay's was my favorite runway outfit for this episode. I loved, like, there's no better way to say in my skin than, like, look at this. I am beautiful with this new delusion that is shimmery and just like the Nubian like makeup and afro. Like, it was just absolutely head to toe gorgeous. And I just felt like this is the Shea Coulee that I've been missing, and I'm so excited is back on our screens.
Yes, I completely agree.
I'm sorry.
I feel like
the bodysuit. I have been waiting to talk about this because she contoured a freaking bodysuit and she looks so amazing. This is hands down my most favoriteest look that I have seen on all. I know we're only two episodes in, but like, and it's crazy because it's a freaking bodysuit that's been stoned, right? Like, whatever, fine, boring. But the way that it's contoured, the way that it's crafted, the makeup, the jewelry that goes along with it, the only critique is that the armpit fits a little bit awkward. But apart from that, Aman, oh my gosh, I nearly fainted out of my chair when I saw her walk around the runway. I know that you said that Blair St. Clair's was your favorite look, but I give it to Shay for me.
Yeah, it's weird. And for I echo everything that Beth said about the performance, but as far as this bodysuit is concerned, I think it's just like, also it's just like so unexpected, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was kind of shocked that they didn't blur out the nipples, because, you know, it is network television, but they just let that shit hang out, and I was just like, yes. And it's, you know, it's you know, obviously paying homage to beautiful Black women, and it's just like in your face, just like this is the skin that I am in. This is like it's a very, 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 very strong piece. I still liked Blair St. Clair's better, but I totally understand the intent behind her choosing to use this outfit, and just like the swagger of it all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Shea Coulee just had such a really just awesome attitude and just like this confidence to her. And like, she knows what she's here to prove. You know what I mean? She knows that she kind of fucked up at the end of her season. She got, I was going to say Blair, Sasha Velour took her out. And so now she's back with a vengeance. And I want to continue to see this energy. And I just think this outfit is just like literally the embodiment of that. She's like, I'm back. Bitch, you cannot get rid of me again. Like,
yeah. And I love that, you know, without planning, obviously, but this is an outfit that we are seeing in the middle of the movement of the social justice movement, the Black Lives Matter movement that we are in now, to say black is beautiful, and like, damn anybody who says otherwise, because look at Shay, you know. So it was just absolutely stunning. And I'm so happy, like I said before, I'm so happy to see Shay back on our screens. I think that, you know, I love Sasha Velour, and I do think that obviously Sasha won that lip sync. Like, you'd be crazy to say otherwise, but there was, that's always been a weird taste in my mouth, because I just was such a champion for Shea Coulee throughout that entire season, before that season even too, that I've always been like, oh, I really, watch Shay to come back and just crush it. And girl, is she crushing it? So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked about this being, you know, a march to the end to crown Shay Coulee. And after the first episode, you know, it was like, well, you know, I don't know, maybe not. But then here it felt even more so. And obviously she's in the top and wins ultimately the challenge and then goes on to win the lip sync, even though, you know, what was Alyssa Edwards doing? But this is I just thought excellence here. Let's go ahead and jump into that lip sync. Deliberation. Does anyone have anything they want to say about Angina? Come on, I feel like maybe you do, about what Angina, you know, effectively kind of quit. I don't know what you want to call it.
I hate quitters. And you know what? Like, we are entering an age when it comes to reality TV. I mean, we kind of saw something similar to this with BB Can 8, right? So we're coming to a point where we're trying to be tactful when speaking about people that decide to step away, because you know, you never know what anybody's really going through. You never know, you know, what's going on in their head. So you don't want to, you know, they're already making the decision to quit. You don't want to like trash them for it. But it just felt like she was just already resigned to, like, she's like, I don't, she made it about the other girl. She made it like, oh, I don't want to take this away from them. I'm like, no, that's the point of the competition, is to take it away from them. Like,
right.
Don't quit. I just, and then she ends up voting for herself. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and I'm glad that she's gone, because obviously you don't want somebody like that around, but you were Angina. You were on the first season. You started all of this, and for you to be the second person to go, I don't know, man. It just really pisses me off, because I just feel like it cheapens the quality of the entire competition, because it's like, oh, did you really win that week, or did Angina just quit? You know, like, I just.
No, I really feel that. I was instantly getting flashbacks to Winners at War with Survivor, with Ben basically giving up the competition for Sarah in like the final five. And you sit back and you're like, why would you be out on an island for 36 days or whatever and just like not bring it home? And it's the same thing here. Angina has been fighting for years to get on All Stars. I believe she was even supposed to be on one of All Stars, but she got like injured or something and couldn't get on. Like, you have been waiting for this moment to come back. And while I can absolutely understand that you have moments where you get in your head, this is what the competition is designed for. You know what you're signing up for All Stars at this point, what that's going to entail. It's probably going to entail screwing over your other sisters in a way that you don't have to do in a normal season. Like, you have to go in knowing that if this is what you want to do, this is something that you're going to have to deal with in the competition. And even if she had had all that talk and then had voted for somebody else, I think I would have had a sliver of a like, well, at least she played the game and voted for somebody else. But the fact that she voted for herself, that really, to your point, Aman, I really do feel like that cheapens the outcome for, in this situation, for India and Mariah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think once we saw Angina vote for herself, then I was like, well, okay, obviously the queens are, you know, like, Angina's going home, and for the queens get to, you know, their vote count. And then I almost kind of feel like, well, Shay's not going to want to ruffle any feathers, so she'll probably pick Angina also. So there did feel, it felt a little bit like, oh, okay, the game is over now. Mm-hmm. Like, this week is over, because we're going to lose Angina, which was really frustrating to me, because I like watch that first season live, and I remember when Angina came out when the MacViva Glam challenge is happening. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, was like, I've been living with HIV, and she does her whole commercial because life is a celebration, and which she then, when she leaves, you know, kind of ties back in. That was such, I think, such a pivotal moment. And even for Rue to say when Angina leaves that Angina's like, 11 years ago, you changed my life. Rue's like, 11 years ago, you changed my life. Like, it's just right. So impactful. And it feels a little soured, Aman, to your point, that this is kind of how it happened. So I think it's very moving, and I really appreciate that Angina was on the season, but it does leave a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth, but I'm kind of trying to like wash that away. Let me get some mouthwash, bring me the Listerine, because trying to stay a little bit more positive in this trying time, but
yeah.
Here we are.
I do think that, you know, that ultimately at the end of the day, Angina is clearly a very sweet person. And I do think that she was saying her truth in that moment. I don't think that she was putting on anything for the camera. I think that she genuinely felt like I'm not delivering and somebody else should not go home over me in this situation. We don't like to see that within the context of a competition or something like Drag Race All Stars. But at the same time, I do agree that, you know what? She's gone now. She was able to come back. She was able to say, hey, guys, I was on the first season. I made waves. I'm like a fantastic person. She got her moment again. And while I'm sad to see her go, I'm happy that the people who are left are people who I don't believe are going to go out the same way. Like, I don't think that's a precedent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, I don't want this to become like the All-Stars is supposed to be All-Stars because it's a bunch of people that are really, really good at what they do. And it's like every week you don't want to be able to tell who's going to go home. And I feel like this was just like, oh, like you're quitting on an All-Star season. Like, come on. And also maybe she just didn't want to get the edit of like, oh, the only reason that she made it was because of her name, because she's Angina, and they didn't want to get rid. They were too afraid to get rid of the season one girl because they didn't want to piss off the fans. And maybe she just didn't want that, you know, energy around her. So she was like, let me just, you know, give you the OK to do this. But I'm like, in doing so, you are also like you at the end of the day, I just feel like you cannot give a damn what fans thought. Not that that might not even have anything to do with it. But if it did, like, screw the fans, like. Fight for yourself. You know, it's 100,000 dwellers. Okay. Like, we need that. You need that. I know you need it. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We could all use that. If only that was the stimulus check.
Oh my gosh.
come through. All right. Well, I have a hard out soon. So let's quickly talk about the lip sync. And then we pretty much address everything from Untucked. So like, yeah. And then we'll talk about next week and get out of here. Okay. The lip sync. The Alyssa Edwards of it all, Beth, do you feel like she gave it all? Do you feel like it was edited weird? Walk me through your thoughts.
I don't think it was edited weird. I just don't think that she gave it. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, because clearly Shay was getting into the song and having fun, blah, blah. I also just don't know. Was this just a weird song choice to have Alyssa Edwards as the assassin for? Is this maybe what the issue is?
That like the Pointer Sisters is maybe not the right fit for her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like Shea Coulee killed it, but then, I don't think Amani necessarily got the Alyssa I expected.
I really don't want Brent to have been right here. I really don't, because he said, oh, this is just a march for Shay to get to the end. He can choose who, you know, who lip syncs, and he can probably tell them, you know, whether or not he wants them to give it their all or not. And it really felt like, and like, you know, it's like kind of what I said before. It's like, I mean, you know, Alyssa's getting a little older. You know, maybe she was just tired that day. I don't know. Maybe she, you know, maybe the knees ain't working the way they should be working. I don't know. Okay. I just feel like we have seen her fight for her life on that stage. And this looked like she was just, it was like the last number at some random gig in the middle of Ohio, and she just wanted to go home and eat some hot wings. Like, I just don't understand. Where was Alyssa? Where was it? And, you know, and then what makes it worse for me is that Shay Coulee is like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I just beat Alyssa in a lip sync. That's crazy. I'm like, I can't believe it either, girl. Like, I don't think you should have. I just.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Like, I had a moment where I sat back and I said, I think it's because she doesn't hurt. There's nothing on the line for Alyssa. So maybe that's just what was the problem.
Yeah,
like,
you're
what
just
is
like,
Alyssa gaining from this, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I want to, like, if I'm choosing what I want to believe, because I'm not exactly sure where I land, I think I'm going to go with Aman's theory of she was just tired. So, you know, Alyssa, take your vitamins, take your calcium, stay healthy. Because if you ever come back as another lip sync assassin, maybe you can bring a little bit more energy, because that was just...
Like, I was pissed. Like, I wanted her to... She's not even in the competition, and I wanted her to slosh it away. Like, I wanted her to...
Her out.
Same. Well, I always thought, I don't look at spoilers or anything like that. So I honestly don't know like who the other lip sync assassins are going to be. But I did have a moment where I was like, oh, my God, what if they're going backwards in order of the winners of the regular seasons and Shay has to go up against Sasha? Like, ooh, I thought I had this moment good. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what an epic like ending to the second episode. But, you know, then it would have been happening.
Amazing. I would have been screaming production interference till the cows come home. Although even if it had been like, I love that logic because then it makes, oh, of course, like, you know, of course she would be there. But yeah, who knows? I don't know. We saw some people throw out Trinity, Cameron. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we're going to see some of these queens in for the lip sync assassin position, but I guess we shall find out as the season progresses. Next week, we are going to get sort of the Love 96 type challenge, which is where the queens have to, the description is dive into the world of celebrity branding as they have to design their own boutique hotel experience, signature suite, courtesy of a 5-star hotel. I think that should be pretty interesting. I also spied Miss Nicole Byer as a guest, mm-hmm. which I'm very, very excited. Yeah, that's what we're going to be getting next week. So very much looking forward to that. I think it's going to be great. I think that wraps everything up for us. So, Beth, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you for talking about everything with this episode and then, you know, joining us for the rest of the season. I think it's going to be so much fun to talk about everything All-Stars. What are you up to? How can people find you on social media?
Well, thank you again for having me. This is I'm such a big Drag Race nerd. So the fact that I have a microphone to talk about it is a little crazy. So thank you guys for having me. I'm working with Sequester. You know, if you are not a patron of Sequester and want to play those games, you can sign up at patreon.com/sequester. We run games on Fridays and Saturdays. I often mod at least one game a week. I also stream occasionally, you know, but on Twitch. So you can find me at AugustaWind11 on Twitter, but you can also find AugustaWind11.ttv for Twitch. And yeah, and I'm also on my weekly Meltdown. We're currently in the middle of a rewatch of Big Brother 10, although for me it is a first time watch because while I like Big Brother, I'm really more of a newer fan.
Yes, so, get into it, girl. Get into it.
Welcome.
Loving it. We've only watched the first 2 weeks so far, but so this, or wait, 3 weeks. No, 2 weeks. I can't do math. So we're apparently this is the week of Keisha's birthday, which I've heard so much about, but yes. I haven't watched yet. So I'm excited to see what is this. And so I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we do that on Wednesdays at 8:00 Eastern on My Weekly Meltdown on YouTube.
So fun. Okay, good. Well, I hope you like cake.
Thank you. I will definitely tweet into that.
Enjoyable. All right, Aman, what about you? What are you up to? How can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Amon Adwin on Twitter and Instagram, acting a fool. I'm still podcasting with a friend of the podcast, Matt, about Glee and everything. So if you're a Glee, just head on over there. And yeah, that's it.
And you can find me on social media, on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I'm part of the Big Brother, or no, not Big Brother, maybe one day, Survivor rewatch series that we're doing as part of the RHAP BNB. So we just watched season 4, episode 3 from Marquesas. We had Akiva on to talk with Mike and I about everything Survivor, going all the way to Boston Rob 1.0, which was really fun. He is very hot. And I like forgot about that. So here we are. Become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to patreon.com, sign up to be a patron. It allows us to do everything that we do over here on reality TV or Half Ups and everything else that goes on the network. Leave us your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Thank you for everything. And we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.